This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome, After Buzzers. You're watching the after show for the American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Episode 5, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, After Buzzers. We are back for another exciting episode of American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gianni Versace. My name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
What's up, Shaka Strong?
What's up, man?
I am not in the Navy, but my name is Ronnie, and my social media is at RandomlyRJ. Thank you very much.
Hey, After Buzzers, it's Russell Ray. You can find me across Instagram and Twitter at Russell Ray Silva.
Isn't it hard to talk when the song is on in the Navy?
I was like, you can find me in the Navy. Russell Ray Silva. All right.
Hey guys, what's up? You can find me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet. And if you are the Navy, please hit me up.
And if you guys are in the chat.
Wait a minute.
It's Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Double tap.
She's put it out there. Happy Singles Awareness Day. If you guys are in the chat, definitely comment. And hopefully we'll see your comments and we'll be able to respond. But yeah, what a great episode for me. This was a great episode because I actually got a little bit more humanization of Andrew Cunanan. So I was excited about that. And then finding out a little bit more about Jeffrey Traill. And I guess some of the issues surrounding that time period.
I think first and foremost, people are going to want more Versace back in it. So that was probably one of the exciting
nice
parts.
To see yes, Versace. Back in,
which, yeah. Even though he wasn't in it that much, I think the parallel of the story with the whole don't ask, don't tell worked out well. And it gave us that little bit of, it's as if we have had two episodes where we didn't get to know anything about Versace and it was all Cunanan. And then we jumped back in with a very synchronized dual storyline, which was kind of nice. That was my favorite part. Maybe one of the better episodes so far.
And
I like episode 2 the best and episode 5.
And I agree. Like Harry and Penelope, Harry and Antonio, or Donatello and Harry and Antonio, I was like a refreshed.
You're like, yes, they're back. Finally, I know.
And the fire, and yeah, they're amazing.
And now we're starting to understand the relationship and why it all went south after the murder.
Yeah.
Because Donatello Donatello thought that Antonio was a fame whore.
Yeah.
Right.
It was just nice getting to see those guys back on screen, too. We had an absence, a little drought.
But I have to say it was too short, though. Do you guys agree? It was too short.
I wanted more Johnny and Donatello, for sure.
I feel like it was too short in the way of it was too short where you wanted more.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I wasn't bummed by it. It did exactly what it needed. Like, by the end of the episode, I said exactly what you're thinking. Like, I kind of want more Gianni Versace story arc. But then I said, no, they gave me enough, and they had me wanting more, and it tied in nicely. So I wasn't really, like, upset necessarily.
Yeah, and I do want to see a little bit more of that moment or the aftermath of that moment of sort of bringing in Antonio to the interview and, like, making that a thing, you know? Because that was a moment for Johnny and Antonio. So I'd love to see what happens after that, at least in the relationship.
And, of course, we're speaking about the Advocate interview. Which was 1995 was when he was set to do this interview. Something I think we sort of take for granted now because there's so many stars that have came out or were further past that. But in 1995 it was a huge deal and Donatello was not having it. Personally, I really like that Antonio and Gianni stuck to the idea that we're gonna do this together.
Right.
I really was about that, even if it had Donatella sit on the outer layer of it and be combative.
Did you understand her frustration? Not her frustration, but her reluctance?
Well,
because there's a lot of stakes. There's a huge company. They're putting everything into this, and she obviously approves of them, but it's just taking it to a whole new scale.
Yeah.
Well, I know, and she mentioned the Perry Ellis, how Perry Ellis had passed away tragically, and how that, the consumer sort of, left the brand. So I thought, and I was going to say this about other parts of the story, what was great about this episode, it had you seeing both sides and almost fighting for both sides.
Right.
So even though I just led with saying, I was more about, Gianni, Antonio, you tell Donatella, the moment you just said what you said about her, I was like, Damn, maybe Julia is right.
Well, you know, it spoke to the time. It does. It made sense, because when she first kind of objected to it, I was like, oh, well, she's just, I didn't realize she was so close-minded. And then she gave her explanation, you're like, oh, completely makes sense,
right?
Because that was the time they were living in.
Exactly, yeah. And it's selfish even for us, but when you think of it, then it's like the sacrifice of Versace as a brand. Think of, as a designer, how much he's impacted fashion and history, right? What if, you know, things hadn't gone the way they've gone and people were, didn't support the brand after this? Yeah. What if Versace wasn't the legacy it is today?
Yeah. And, can you imagine? And for her, it's like her brother. She was more concerned of, like, are you going to be treated well with the people that, you know, you like and admire?
Right. That was a great duality of her care for her brother and
right.
the brand itself. Yeah, there was a really fun line. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I thought this episode really was about the timing of what when this stuff was taking place.
Mm-hmm. Right. And another thing that they were talking about is that he felt that he had to do it. A fun quote was, I'm alive and I must use it.
Yeah.
So as we introduced in the first few episodes, he was diagnosed with HIV.
Yeah.
At that moment in time, I felt like they didn't really explain it much, but I looked more deeper into it. He's on a new drug. And actually with this drug, his life is...
Is this beyond the ACT, probably?
I don't know what the exact drug is, but basically, at that point, his diagnosis is not a death sentence. Prior to that, it was.
And so for him.
For
like
him.
In the mid-90s, if you got HIV, for most people, it was a death sentence.
It was.
Right. Yeah. So at this time, though, in his life, it's no longer a death sentence. Yeah. So it's something he has to really closely watch.
Yeah.
But he has a second chance. So he has to use, that's his motivation.
And it was like a breath really of life of a second chance.
Breath of, I love that.
At that time. Yeah.
And I believe he said something along the lines of, you know, I designed for strong women, and what would it be if I myself wasn't strong?
Right.
Yeah. Which
so
went
beautiful.
Back to that. I don't know if it related for you guys, but it went back to that same sentence. Remember when he was talking about the slim women versus the regular, what do you say?
I want
my models to have had many lovers. And I like it spoke in
to
that.
To eat, to drink, to be. Yeah.
And same context. Yeah.
And I think, though, what I did enjoy seeing with the juxtaposition that you had with Jeffrey Trail, because Johnny had a privileged position, you know, that this is a guy who can actually say anything he wants, can do what he wants, because at the end of the day, he's got this money to insulate him.
Mm-hmm.
I love when Donatella, or Penelope, as Donatella says, you know, you surround yourself with these beautiful people, like the world is actually uglier than you realize.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, for Jeffrey, he was living in that world where he can't be on screen.
That's great.
He's
living
in the dark. And I thought, just the way they did it, the
such
imagery.
Such a beautiful duality that we see throughout the episode.
Yeah.
Really did a good job.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent.
I think what a beautiful moment, though, for the fact that he didn't live very long after this.
Yeah.
And he was able to go out as 100% of who he was.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He was
not necessarily still hiding in the closet.
Exactly. Yeah. He was actually, the reason why he's doing his interview is to come out, but it was actually to promote his book, Men Without Ties.
Yeah.
And even in the actual interview, he didn't flat out come out with a quote saying, I am gay, but he really highly alluded to it, and it just kind of unfolded. They didn't highly publicize it, actually. They put the article within Advocate magazine, like, not even in the front page. Like, they just,
I've been trying to find, like, go on Google, and I can't find it. It's almost impossible.
They kind of slid it. So even back then, even though this is such a huge interview, right?
And Advocate with a new magazine, yeah.
Exactly. Right. And you would think if they have this huge piece of news, they would put it front page, and they didn't. So that shows a lot. But the book that he was promoting, as I mentioned, was Men Without Ties. And he actually dedicated the book to the three Antonias in his life, his father, his nephew, and his lover.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
That's like, just what was like trailblazing at the time is always just astounding to be that, to be at the forefront of that movement.
The most interesting thing, too, is how you brought to light, like, I'm thinking of it as, okay, it's 95, and there was progression, of course, at some point. Elton John was living his best life. But, like, in my mind, I'm thinking, gosh, you know, I remember what 95 was like. I do remember what that was like. You know, I was, like, in high school or something like that. And my point to say this is, my mind, and not even on a stereotypical level, my mind is like, oh, man, okay, Versace's in the fashion world. At least that's going to be a forgiving world. It's not like he was in, like, Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
But true, I think what's so interesting is, like, you, by mentioning that, Shaka, bringing us back to 1995 and me saying, even though Versace had so much to lose, and then you saying what you said about Trail, it's like, damn, it was a very different thing. Like, okay, fine, you're going to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
It's going to be an issue. Melissa Etheridge, it's going to be an issue. But imagine, like, the kids that I went to high school, there was, like, three kids in high school. I don't know. You guys are all probably much younger than me. But, like, three kids only. And they made fun of them. And if you talk to them, you got made fun of. It was a gnarly time. So,
yeah.
I that lack of power that Trail went through was really exposed nicely.
It was huge, and that was that was the bravery that he had to, and the bravery to sit in the dark. You know what I mean? But that was still in of itself a huge leap.
Well, when he walked into that room, I was surprised that they called him by his name, so they have his information.
Yeah, right.
All the people in that room, like, it's a huge, huge risk he's putting.
Well, that, I guess it was back in the day when we actually trusted our media. we have a president.
No one can take out his cell phone and just take a
media was a lot slower. Yeah.
When you don't put one of these.
Yeah, right.
You know, or one of these.
But I
snapping photos.
I love getting a little bit of a history of, I guess, the sort of triangle of Jeffrey Trail and David Madsen and Cunanan. So we start off with both of them being very uneasy at the airport, having to meet Andrew Cunanan and having for this last weekend. It's almost so tragic because you see them both hesitant to even invite him to the city and hang out with him, and had they not, maybe, you know, they'd still be alive today, possibly.
Right, that if. We always talk about it every episode. Yeah. Those ifs, and you should see us watching the episodes. We're screaming at our screens.
Yeah, there's a lot of oohs.
Don't do it.
Yeah, it's so hard when you know what's going to happen. You can see the possibility of what could have been avoided.
Right,
yeah.
But that shows it's a great show, because even though we know the outcome, and a lot of these storylines, we kind of, you know, with the research that we've done, kind of know what's to come, it still keeps you on your toes. So props to the
production.
Now,
do we think, because, so we saw, going back to Jeffrey Trail, this is the 23rd of April, I guess a mere couple days before he did get murdered. We see Trail going in this agony in regards to telling, you know, his coworker, I'm not sure where he worked, in a mill or something like that, how, oh my God, I'm not in the Navy, and the guy's pressing him, and all this pressure is building. So they have their moment, and that's really like an opening point to the episode, too.
Yeah.
But going beyond that, this same character, his coworker that he's talking to, is like, oh, you got a call from Andrew. Yeah. My question to you guys is, did he call just Jeffrey? Because it was funny, because as soon as Jeffrey got there, he goes, oh, he told David, oh, I didn't know you would come, I wasn't sure you were going to make it too. Like, as if they, like, was it their connecting, or did Andrew call them both?
Well, based on what I know from the facts of it, of what happened, was only Madsen was there to meet him, and so Madsen meets, in real life, Madsen meets Cunanan, and they go out for dinner, and apparently Jeffrey Trail leaves his key for him to stay there that night.
Right.
So they never actually met at the airport, so I think that was a little bit of...
That's the hard part, because, memorizing the real stuff, and then how we're, like,
because I think for the story, though, they wanted them to meet, so you could see that these two people were very uneasy, because apparently, in real life, they both were uneasy with telling Andrew Cunanan. They thought he was crazy, essentially.
Well, they have to make up... You have to remember, too, they have to make up for lost time, and they can't necessarily lay out the story to its entirety, and they have to shorten things and somewhat make things up. But at the end of the day, we know that conversation probably happened somewhere else at another time.
Well, because I think I want to say they met maybe
placement.
Yeah, they met once or twice, but for each of them, they had these concerns that were never voiced. And I think when you don't voice these concerns, you don't necessarily see the full crazy of the person you could voice them to.
Yeah,
but does that make you wonder why we continue to engage in relationships or friendships that don't make us feel completely comfortable?
No, not at all. And the reason not to jump on your sentence, but the reason I think no is because the point, I think, of the airport scene was how you saw two totally different people who shared an experience with this guy. Whether, and they had different aspects and layers to that. And you seen one of them who said, I am fed up from the bullshit that you have given me all this time.
Right.
And then you had David, that was Jeffrey, then you had David who was like, but I still feel like I'm sort of supposed to be there for you. So,
And we forget that we don't see a lot of the humanization of Andrew Cunanan, because he had a relationship with Madsen. Madsen, they were together at one point in time. So, I think what we kind of miss, at least until this point, is the fact that he must have been fairly charming in the good moments for you to at least kind of go along with these moments of sort of like oddness and weirdness.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what we kind of miss a little bit, is that there was something about Andrew Cunanan that endeared him to people enough that they weren't like, get away from me, I'm leaving, you know?
I just want to strangle this dude. Like, if he was still alive, I would definitely want to.
And we have the benefit
him.
Of hindsight, right?
A lot of times you guys had also asked too, like, I mean, we're going to, as we see more episodes, we're going to see more about what built him, you know, things with his mother, mental health, and things with his father, whatever. But one thing that I was off the show, I was watching a lot of, like I say, the 2020 interviews or whatnot, and one thing that kind of disturbed me, I suppose, without being judgmental, but sort of disturbed me, is the times I came across interviews with his brother. It's as if he, like, how do you say it? It's as if we were more offended by the situation than the brother. And the brother would talk a lot about how, like, oh, Andrew, when he was the baby of four, he was the baby, he was the king. Like, they always uplifted him. So I think when you have always asked this question, like, how does Andrew become this person? He, I think, is a kid who grew up with no consequence. That is what I gather.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little...
Well, it's... You know, sometimes people that go through a situation like that want to romanticize the... fictitious portion of this person and build them up to what they're not, because you have to remember they're being made out to be bad people too.
Right.
Yeah. After this whole situation went down.
Yeah.
So it's more or less to kind of deflect the pain that it's really going to cause on this family and the impact it's really going to have on this family. And I mean, I don't know how I'd feel if my brother was a murderer.
And there's something to mental illness where we try to rationalize it, but yeah. It's mental illness, so it's hard to rationalize what's actually going on in someone's brain that's suffering.
Yeah.
Because I do believe he's culpable for what he did, but he's suffering from some deeper mental illness that created this, you know?
And it really puts it in perspective when later on, well, I don't know how far you want to get to this, but later on in the episode, when we see the... attempted self-harm.
Yeah.
You really put yourself in that person's shoes. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, you mean with Jeffrey Trail.
Really going to happen, yeah.
And I think that underscored that policy, don't ask, don't tell. It was funny because we had that conversation about how it seems so antiquated now, but at the time it was really a very progressive policy because it was sort of, you were kicked out of the military if you were gay, but people kind of knew who was gay anyways. Mm-hmm. So the progressive policy was like, well, kind of a wink and nod.
And the don't ask, don't tell almost seems like it blocked off the discrimination.
Right. Yeah.
But then as you were saying, you're like, but all these years later, it is not as good. And it seems so odd because I could remember being a younger person when the don't ask, don't tell was about to happen. And it did seem so, this is the right go. And then like later on in these years, when you start... veering up on equality, you're like, whoa.
How dare you not be able to say who you are and have that be of no consequence.
Right.
Because it eliminated the witch hunt in a way where it was like before you could go out someone, and I think in a way you'd be rewarded because you're weeding out what they didn't want in the military. So it seemed progressive, are you guys saying, but completely not. Yeah.
And don't ask, don't tell didn't stop like the beatings or the hazings as a result. It just said you can remain in the military, but certainly people still knew you suffered for it.
I think you were rewarded, kind of, I mean, just from what you said, because I remember the when Jeffrey Trail wanted to go speak with his superior, the superior gave him the book, and then he said, oh, you know, we're nothing without the code. So to me, that was like saying, oh, okay, the code. This is like the program.
The comic they gave, that was so strange, that booklet that they gave him.
Yeah.
Well, that I looked it up in the comic that was in that book. There's a very similar one that explains the whole don't ask, don't tell conduct of not speaking about, you know, it remains unspoken.
Don't ask, don't tell was in date from February 28th, 1994,
when
I was born.
Oh my gosh, you were born?
And, yes, they got rid of it at September 20th, 2011.
You were born before the real world was on TV in American television. That is just going to be mind-boggling to me.
No, but I think what's mind-boggling, 2011, guys.
2011. Yeah. Well, Obama had to send it out.
No, but again.
And his administration.
But again,
isn't that insane?
Again, it made sense. It made sense because the alternative was.
It's an outdated law. It made sense maybe in the 90s, but to stay up until 2011, people.
And not only that, it had to go through a 60-day waiting period after it was sent out.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you're referencing the 2011?
Yeah.
You know what's funny, though? I don't know, but
well,
it's like they're the same, but they're different. Because I think, I'm going off memorizing how it was back in the day. Like, I thought the don't ask, don't tell work at the time.
I don't think you get to the policy we have today without don't ask, don't tell.
Oh, there
you
go.
You said what I was trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it was a huge stepping stone, and don't ask, don't tell was good for the time. It was, but it was in state for way too long.
Yeah,
but
it did.
At least we're past that.
Yeah.
And thank you to all the people who serve.
I want to talk about, I want to talk about a portion. I don't know if we're jumping ahead. This episode did jump a bit.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, if it's okay with you guys, when Jeffrey did meet Andrew. So he had went through so much in the Navy. And he almost commits suicide. I guess we could talk about that a
smidge. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, let's just remember that and the you know, with the viewers too, that everything completely for this season is out of, completely out of order. It wasn't like the American Crime Story.
It's almost in order, but just reverse. Yeah, it is in order.
This one actually jumped around a little bit.
It goes back and forth everywhere. Yeah. So that's why we're off topic and jumping.
But I liked that we saw so much. Let's get right into it. I liked that we saw so much with Jeffrey Trail and all the stuff he had gone through and fighting, you know, I guess for equality in some ways by defending the out gay person.
Right.
And I really thought it made so much sense and felt so natural.
Right.
Almost like we were like a fly on the wall when we did finally see him at the gay bar in San Diego.
Flicks.
Oh, and that scene just seemed like such an honest scene because...
Yeah. The interview?
No, even before that. I'm talking about... You have what Jeffrey Trail went through in the Navy and then how he sort of like... I felt like when... Okay, without knowing it, I felt like we watched that whole episode... And we almost didn't take a breath because it was really hard to watch all those things.
Yeah.
So by the time...
Our friend in the chat... I'm sorry. I'm too blind to read Ashley.
Ashley Summer.
Yeah, she said it was too much to watch...
the Navy scenes. It was tough.
To mute the Navy scenes, because it was too much to watch.
Well, the only scene Juliet didn't want to mute was when the uniform was nice and crisp on that male torso.
I'm telling you, hit me up on Instagram, at Bonjour Juliet. I'm all about it. All about a man in a uniform.
All day.
every day.
That was a torso. That was how you
wear
the Navy
uniform. That was a good time. That was a highlight of my episode. What you were saying.
And you know, we go on to see, you know, all the agony that he has. And I know we only have a little bit of time, otherwise we would stick on these topics, but I want to get right into, I felt like I at least was not breathing during all this shit, you know, all this shit of, you know, him choosing to defend, him deciding it's better to defend this guy, but how it's going to fuck me over and the code. And this is everything I ever wanted to be as a child.
Right.
So with all that built up, I felt like as a viewer, it built up into me. So by the time I saw cute little Andrew, and I don't mean cute like he was cute, but he was being cutesy. It like hurt me to watch knowing that we know the outcome. Because I feel like there was no part of me as a viewer that said, oh, I blame Jeffrey Trail for like not being wise and not like noticing that he's a finagler.
Because he was actually supporting
him. He was warm. Yeah. He's exactly what you go. It's scary. You know, it's a warm. He's the exact person you want to be confronted.
And he was saying you shouldn't be hiding yourself from the military. They don't want you. Like he was being that person that seemed to be promoting him as a person.
Right. Yeah. That interview actually was for CBS, a show called 48 Hours. Mm-hmm. And the correspondent, Richard Schneisman, I can't say his last name.
Missy Elliott.
Shout out.
he said that he quote he chose to speak to us because he thought it was the right thing to do. He did the interview in silhouette, but he was still taking a tremendous risk with his career.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
like a tremendous risk.
Because silhouette doesn't matter if they actually know who you are.
Do you know what I mean? Find out who you are.
If I recognize you as a person, I'll recognize you in the silhouette. You know,
right. You're describing everything.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I stopped these guys from beating him up.
Based on the account, they could equal what had happened.
It's almost as if like it's just blurring to the public. But yes, if they're so out to not have these gays in the military, you know, they're going to go after them.
And there was a time, I think, to a degree, where you could give a TV interview and maybe people wouldn't see it. Now it's just, it'll be on Twitter, it'll be reposted, it'll be on Instagram. Yeah.
No, I think you see it. I think regardless of like social media, you still see it back in that time because you're like you said, oh, does my security officer, will they be reported
to
this?
You don't know if they'll necessarily see it on 60 Minutes. Like, you know, maybe they don't watch 60 Minutes in the military.
Unless Oprah gets a hold of it. Because then Oprah just shows the world. Shout out to Oprah. I love her. But it's the same. Oprah was the Instagram and Twitter of the day.
Of course.
Because if anybody was anybody who wanted to talk about anything,
you
they
go
went
there
to her.
And you know it was blasted out.
Yes. Because it got out to the world and it was like, I'm here, I'm proud, hear me more.
Okay, Oprah. can I talk about one little thing? Juliet, you were even saying it was weird. On one hand, you had Jeffrey Trail who was saying, I want to go speak because they're giving me this opportunity and this is what's in my heart. Mm-hmm. And then on one hand, you have Andrew. This is how it makes him so conniving because everything Andrew said made sense, but even in a non-friendly like way, it's like, well, fuck them. You know, they're the Navy. They don't care about you and they are making you criminalized. I think he used the word criminalized, which is a hot topic word for me. I don't like that word. And so I'm like,
But he was in that moment, he was completely correct.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. I was just so like, hard, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I said this was the first episode. Like, I felt like he was humanized because right. I agreed with a lot of Andrew Cunanan. When he was rejected by Madsen, I actually felt sorry for him. This was the first time, like, I had warm emotions to this character.
The sad thing, though, is I feel like, yes, humanized, but I think that's more like Andrew Cunanan. That's gameplay right there. That's like,
oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
like how he does, like, hit the club, you know, take an unsuspecting person who's never been in a bar and, like, kind of teach them the way. Which, and then, yeah. you know,
which I want to see more of. I want to see more of the charm that drew people in, because it had to be big because he was that off. You know what right. I mean? For you to then say you rationalize the offness away, he must have been very charming to draw you in.
I mean, he gave him a Cartier watch.
Well, yeah, that'll charm me.
But
too.
See, that's that, but,
that'll be enough.
That's also pretty interesting that you say that. And God, I guess I don't like people, and or don't trust people, or hate people. That's just I am like shithead Ronnie, because I am like by saying this is gonna make it sound like I'm like smarter than other people, and that's not what I'm trying to say. But like, I'm not that way where I'll get something or I see the buzz of something or the. You know, the fanciness, and I like to usually see it for what it is. So what I'm saying is, yes, you could give somebody a watch, but my mind is like, I know this motherfucker ain't got no job, so if he don't have a job, how's he getting the... Like, yeah. I'm just saying, like...
You
put the puzzle together.
I would like to think that I'm more in tune with that.
Well, here's the right thing is...
The moment I started talking, I felt like I should have just stopped.
No. I think Cunanan had, like, booms and busts, because he was obviously scamming people left and right, and, like, doing whatever it is to make money, whether it was selling drugs. So I think at times he had a lot of money, and at times he had very little money. So I think if he gives you that kind of watch, you know, he scraped together his last big amount... And gave it to you, so that's sort of like more endearing.
Yeah, but
I think it's stolen.
And the part about me,
it's Cartier, and also when you'll walk in, like, it's hard to actually even get a Cartier thing.
Well, a little factual information is he was dating apparently a wealthy older man
yes.
right before he went to San Diego. Oh. So he breaks up with the older man,
yeah.
and then a year later he goes back to Madsen or tries to get Madsen back.
Many reports say that steamrolled
right
bank account relationship in San Diego, which was a decent amount of time while he was
for a year,
low-key yeah. also dating Madsen, which I'm sure they'll probably get to in the show later, was sort of the demise. Like, that's when
yeah.
he like gained weight, lost weight, like just everything was
kind of... The drugs that we introduced also in the episode. Yeah. He's doing heroin, begging to the credit card company to give him an extension.
Which just seemed obviously a very 90s thing to do, because who does that? Like, credit card company, like, no.
Yeah, after 2008, we're done. That's not happening.
I'm going to ask you to pay you back on the way.
This is pre, like, Wall Street, I'm telling you.
And I wish we could see, I mean, obviously no one will ever be able to know the mindset of him,
mm-hmm.
but I wish we could see the mindset of, like, in the way they arc, you know, story arced it was like, oh, I'm just going to be another finagler yeah. type situation. I'm going to get the free flight or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start my new life. Like, nowhere in there did you see crazy man. You know,
yeah.
nowhere in there did you see killer, murderer. Like, it almost seemed like the snap happened a little bit later.
Yeah, because I think you get those triggers. And I think that's why they wanted to show that meeting with him and Jeffrey Traill.
Because
mm-hmm. apparently from what I heard from the family and or what I read about the family, so they didn't talk to me directly, was that neither Traill or Madsen ever voiced to Andrew that they really thought he was off the reservation.
Right.
And so I think they showed that in the show to really show a breaking point. But I think it was something that Andrew just kind of felt and conjured.
Right.
Because apparently he thought those two were having a relationship, but they really had very little to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's a theory. It could have been Madsen and Traill relationship, or it could be all these things. I thought another report that also came out was that he was maybe intrigued by going to San Francisco instead. So I was like, I'm going to go to San Francisco. It's just like he did a going away party in San Diego, and it was like, I'm going to San Francisco. But then to other people, he's going to Minneapolis. So he just was really all over the board, and this is kind of what we saw in the episode.
And I would say Ryan Murphy and the writing staff handled it perfectly, because there's so much we don't know that cannot be known. But I think they filled in the blanks pretty nicely to create a
They did a great job in
postmortem.
Huh?
They're found dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's no way to know actually.
Well, actually, Traill's sister came out to People Magazine, and she, from the facts that she's saying, this episode was actually really truthful. The whole storyline with him writing that postcard and coming out to the family, that actually did happen.
Yeah.
So she states that that's a fact. One thing, though, that didn't happen, you know how they go to the airport? Apparently, Madsen just went by himself.
Yeah.
They didn't go together.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much
it. Yeah, so it's interesting to see where they do editorialize or kind of fill in the blanks. Right. But, you know, again, it is an entertainment show. Yeah,
right, it's different.
Think about it. You need it's important for a viewer to see Madison and Trail and all of them kind of interact because it just... It fast forwards the whole dialogue that you wouldn't see if they were separate scenes all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of the fun part, I guess, as a viewer or as someone who knows a little bit of the backstory or as a writer who's writing it, is that they do have a little bit of latitude because it is an entertainment show. It's not a documentary.
Exactly.
But I think they do a nice job of balancing the truth with where they can fill in.
They hit the emotion. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, God, he was in San Diego. As you said, he let the wealthy gentleman kind of let him go. By him being on the phone with that lady doing drugs and finagling his way into, you know, a free flight or whatever, it took you to the mindset. So whether all that was in that context, like, it was done really well, and then it does have you saying, like, where will it go?
Yeah.
And that is exactly where it went. I think we should definitely talk about the dual interview with the Advocate and Jeffrey Trail. You know, this was Don't Ask, Don't Tell's episode all the way.
I think it's such a funny thing. I think we're all ambivalent about it because now the policy seems so antiquated, but it was so good, right?
Yeah.
I just loved how they were cutting that, you know, and going back and forth between Versace and then Trail. It was just, it was really nice. And you talked about this at the beginning of the episode where it's like you have like kind of like... Versace is in a safer space, right? Yeah. He's in a fancy hotel room. The other one's in like a creepy motel room. Like, it's dark.
They did show that well.
But both feel the boldness of the decision they're about to make. Like, that's the thing. The consequences aren't the same, but both feel the weight and the heaviness of what they're about to do.
Yeah. Right.
So I thought that was like, so much is different, but so much is the same at the same.
Very true. The message and the feeling you're saying is the same at its core.
Because they had the same interpretation, but just obviously Johnny at the end of the day is in a way better position than Jeffrey Trail.
Yeah, but then at the same time, it's different risk, you know? Yeah. You can say, like, okay, Versace has Antonio next to him, so he has that support.
Yeah.
Trill does not have that.
Yeah.
But Trill does not have $1 billion company that he has to account for.
But that's kind of a nice question, though. Is my $1 billion company be like a million or like a little low millions versus am I losing my career? Not
so who had more to lose? That's the question of the day.
Right.
Well, I mean, certainly Trill.
Off the top.
Between Jeffrey and Versace?
Yeah.
Like, within the context of each of their lives. Obviously, they're different
lives. Yeah, they don't know each other's lives. They're just living that.
I think Jeffrey had more to lose because...
Of course.
He pretty much could not rebuild. Versace can rebuild.
Yeah.
Any person with an empire who has the income and cash flow can rebuild in some way, shape, or form, even if they start a ghost company later on.
Wait, but let me hear this. Disagree. Can. You disagree that Johnny...
because...
Since when did this turn into The View?
I disagree because Johnny is Versace. So I think... I agree that Trail had... What's his name? I keep calling him Trail.
Jeffrey Trail.
Had it... It's harder for him, but I feel like he can rebuild. He can do something, you know...
You think Jeffrey Trail is harder for him, but he can rebuild?
Because even though he says that the army is all he's ever had, there's something else there. I feel like Versace is Versace, so there's not... You know, if that goes away, it's terrible for him. However, I still think that Trail has it worse because... even if everything stops for Versace, he has made it till this point, right? He's built already a legacy. So I know I keep going back and forth with my opinion.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what are you saying?
Sorry, it's a little confusing, but Trail has it worse. That's my ultimate.
Trail has it worse. Oh, okay, yeah. I think
Trail has it worse because, I mean, taking out the business aspect of Versace, that's like, you know, an overhead that's, you know, so vulnerable and so challenging. But, like, at the end of the day on, like, the identity issue that each of them have, like, when Versace comes out, it's like he's still, like, as Donatello said, he's still hobnobbing, you know, in his beautiful mansion, even if he has to scale down.
Yeah.
And, you know, with models. Like, I'm pretty sure Naomi Campbell ain't going to be like, oh, sorry, boo, I ain't working with you no more. Like, that's not going to happen. Versus Jeffrey Trail, that
his
emotion was huge.
Like, no.
Yeah, because you run the risk of losing your identity, you know, and how the family receives you. And also you're like... Well, now I'm limited with my work.
Yeah.
And
your support system. Because, I mean, Johnny created a support system of people that were going to support him regardless because at least half of the people are employees.
And that's another thing. Like, I always think about, like, with Jeffrey Trail, what felt so honest in the story when he was talking to his coworker and his coworker got really mad at him. Not mad at him. His coworker asked him questions that provoked him to get mad, rather. It just put me in this place where it was like, you know, by what had happened, Trail ends up being in a situation where he has to closet himself, and he can't necessarily just be around people that are in his tribe or like-minded or whatever. So that felt really hard to watch, I think, you know.
Yeah, having to be in this factory where he didn't want to be there, but the circumstances brought him to this.
It's almost like both guys did the
how he can't rebuild.
Yeah.
Or like he's going to have a hard time.
Both guys did the interview. Yeah. Both guys are out now, you know, in theoretics. But like with Trail, it's like, well, damn, now, who, like, literally, like, nobody in this factory is going to talk to me.
Yeah. Like, the career is gone, and then who knows what's left.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You have to remember, too, some people, especially back then, a lot of people didn't go to college before going to the military. They just.
Yeah.
Really just enlisted right after high school.
And it's his whole life.
So like that's your trait.
Yeah.
Well, and for him, this was a family deal. You know, he went to Annapolis. He was an officer. And so for him, it was more of like a family pride. Like it was deeper than
a lot
sort
of his family members were in the Army as well. Yeah, so.
Exactly. And he did say that this was the only thing I ever wanted to do since I was a little kid. So that even turmoil of like, this is what I want to do, but this is, they tell me no, because there's no honor in it. And I think, who had the comment, you have no honor? Was that Andrew telling Jeffrey or Jeffrey telling
Trail? Jeff told Andrew,
Told Andrew.
Okay.
Right.
Because Andrew stands for nothing.
Because he took the uniform. Yeah. You know, in that scene that he's taking the uniform and he kind of leaves it in a bundle on the bed. And that's why he's saying you have no honor.
Yeah,
and
that was a good fight.
That was a great fight.
Well, because he lies about so much. You ever have someone that you don't agree with them, but they at least have an ethos. They at least have a code they live by. Andrew had no code.
Well, and it's also very unfair because their argument is always surrounded in this ideology where Andrew Cunanan says stuff that is, like, you know, beneficial to the confidence of Jeffrey Trail. You know, like, well, they hated you. Like, all that stuff makes so much sense. It does build in the confidence, but it's like his values weren't intact. So
exactly. And I thought it was a really beautiful message because although, you know, it shows that America is not, you know, where it should be in society, he still has that deep, profound respect for what is honor in the Army and the values. Yeah. So I thought that was really beautiful that he has that grace to move past the injustice that he suffered.
Well, yeah, and I think on that same point, it touches on that duality of pride for your country, even when your country is doing you wrong. And
exactly.
Oh, wow. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you
have a pride for this greater good of protecting the people that are good and the values and the ideals.
When they're not even protecting you.
And they don't match up to the laws and the
actual... Yeah, that even goes back to like almost like a Black Panther moment. Yeah, and if you really want to go back to the 70s and stuff. And it even... Yeah. And the storyline is so good, it even ties into, you know, what was the newest administration and transgender not being accepted, which sounds outlandish.
These people are serving. You have Civil War. Yeah. You have Black people fighting on different sides. Like, but you're fighting for this idea of something that may not be what's actually in place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And maybe that's what this story was. Why it was done differently versus the OJ one, because it had me asking all those questions in like every nanosecond of the sentences that we saw.
Yeah, I thought this was a great turning point episode, so I'm hoping we see a lot more of the relationship,
because
we've seen a lot of like facts and like the way things are built and like the callousness of Cunanan and kind of what took place, but I think hopefully we'll see a lot more relationships, even between Donatello and Antonio and Johnny and Antonio.
I love seeing those relationships. And I actually enjoyed tonight how we saw two sisters, right? Two powerful, beautiful, and very caring sisters. You have Donatella who, you know, even though she's telling her brother, don't do this, it's out of love and it's out of protection. Mm-hmm. And then on the opposite side, you have Amy, I believe, Trail's sister, who's telling him, like, go, come out. It's about time you're about to come out to your parents.
Excellent point.
That
excellent
was such
point.
A good bonus to the episode. Like, an unexpected. Oh, that was really
that
nice
was
to
really
watch.
And just
sweet.
As we talk about how much he had to lose, there's almost. He didn't have as much to lose in terms of coming out to the parents. Mm-hmm. So the sister could say, come out, it's time. They're, you know, they're going to love you. Whereas, you know, Donatello's got to worry about the business of Versace as well.
That was also a good secondary reflection to, or a coming to moment kind of thing with Jeffrey. Because at least he didn't go out too completely closeted. Like, his sister knew and she loved him.
Yeah.
Just like, well, and then that videotape was already recorded. So you got to hear Jeffrey's heart. But that is really hard to watch or to feel that you, like his parents, you know, and those phone calls.
Those NFC messages.
Hey, the baby's here. Like,
it's just not one phone call. It's like a good phone call after another.
And I love it. Just the way they shot it. You see that old school entry machine, that old school phone.
The red, and then red button.
And just hearing those voice
and
messages.
And then, of course, they were just like panning and then just showing the whole room. And then they stop on that uniform and the hat. And oh, American Crime Story. You're poor.
They are
what
good.
Are you doing to me?
Y'all are good. They know what they're doing.
They do.
Let's go into predictions.
What
can we predict? Yes.
I love these lights. Thank you, Anthony in the booth. Intense. I don't know. I don't know if I feel like it's my
voice
same
of God.
The voice of God. I feel like I still. I feel like I. What I want to see. It's not a prediction. It's just what I'm hoping to see.
Please, and we haven't seen previews yet.
We haven't seen previews. Yes. So I'm praying to the Murphy gods. Production, please.
And he got a new deal this week.
Oh, Netflix.
Yeah, he got a new Netflix deal. So
AfterBuzz News.
Yeah.
So American Something Story will be on Netflix.
No, it's just not only are we going to get this show and Pose
American
on
Blank
FX,
Story.
But he's going to be 5-year deal with Netflix. So
that's insane.
He continues
that's so cool.
to dominate. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
This is great information. I'm very thankful you're sharing it. I was, again, like very happy to see more of Versace. I'm just praying that we're going to see more. It's double-sided because it's just such a great episode. I cannot deny that. Great episode. Such a great commentary on like how far American society has come, how it was back then, social issues, homosexual issues. It's just a beautiful episode. However, I want to see Versace, 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 Versace.
Hey, there she goes.
I need it.
I love it.
Your plea is worth the while. That was good.
Yeah, that was great.
I need definitely more of Antonio. I need to know what happens with him.
If we bet, we would have never bet that.
Yeah. I need to know what's going on with Antonio because...
Like in a scammy way or...
No, at the end of the day, pretty much his life is in Donatella's hands.
Right.
Because when you work so closely with your spouse, if something goes down with them and the family's in control, you're at the family's leisure.
Very true. He has no rights. They're not really married. Exactly. She's not really approving of him. Great point.
Wow, and he spends 15 years together and it's just like...
And then
he's
gone.
We talked about that briefly at the beginning. Yeah.
I would say, though, I feel like my sense of what I'm watching in Donatella is that from the jump, he knew where she stood and he knew that she would always be in that position.
Okay, so then did he start embezzling to protect himself?
What?
Wait, exactly. So, oh, shit.
Exactly. Did he start embezzling? What happened? This is what I need to know more about.
So, like, the cause and effect?
I need to know what, you know, where he was at during this whole situation. And I would kind of like to, it's not like this is kind of like morbid, but I would like to know how, you know, the families found out about the Jeffrey and David.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Where were they at? What was going on with them?
That's a great point. That was a big argument when they were pushing lawmakers to make sure that gay marriage was legal. Is there's countless stories of people who are with people for like years and years, and they're married, they're in love, they build a life together.
Commonwealth.
They go to, they get sick, God forbid, and they go to the hospital. Their family doesn't approve, and they don't even get to see their loved ones, say goodbye to them. Like
one of the interesting things about California is that as long as you're older, you can adopt someone else. And they did that for did that for gay marriage because they couldn't get married. So as long as the older person adopted that person, then they could have.
Which sounds
rights.
Like that same backwards progression of don't ask, don't tell. It's like we gotta do all this just for
a 50-year-old adopted a 48-year-old. You know,
that's crazy.
Yeah. But there's
that's sexy. That's so for some. That means maybe I'm twisted. Sorry. I took that back.
Everyone is allowed to speak their mind.
Please contact Juliet.
I felt so thirsty on this Valentine's Day.
No, you know what?
What's going
I agree
on?
With you. The Navy. Suit little situation. I'm a big fan. Like people have different things they like. I'm a big fan of a torso. Like I love. Maybe because I'm so chubby. So I don't have a torso. But I love. Like to me, I never this is a side topic. But I never understand why skinny dudes want to bulk up. I don't even understand. Maybe you can talk to me. What is bulking season about?
I don't do that.
That's crazy.
Like, If you're
skinny, get it tight, and that's it. You're good. Yeah. Bulking season as a fatty. No. So, anyways, I'm an avid waistline person. So when you like your eyes googled, kinda.
Yeah.
I also googled with you. That's all I'm
thank
saying.
Thank you. I enjoyed that. No, I'm all about a uniform, and plus, like you're in the military, shows you're disciplined.
I didn't even get that far.
Predictions, sorry. Getting off topic.
Okay, predictions that I want to see. I think I would like to see, at first, because I didn't know about Gianni Versace acquiring the disease. And I, of course, didn't know about Perry Ellis dying of AIDS. I don't want to necessarily see that come back in too much with Gianni, but I want to see like the climate. And if we tie in things like Don't Ask, Don't Tell, we got to think about like when Bill Clinton, you know, reached out to Pedro Zamora of the Real World in 1994, which further like sinks that climate. Like that was one of the first like normalized situations of the story arc. And I think that could tell a lot of things about where Gianni was. So when we watch this show, especially the young kids who are watching the show who weren't around for this whole thing, are like, oh, I don't understand. What was the big deal, Gianni? You should have just done what you done.
Yeah.
To kind of take it to like what it felt like. That's why when Andrew said the word, oh, it's criminalized, they're making you feel criminalized for who you are.
Right.
I think there were a lot of elements that did that, whether it was HIV, whether it was this murder. Like, you know, there was a time where all of these things made you look like, well, if you want to get into that lifestyle, these are the things that are going to happen to you. Right. So stuff of that nature, I'd like to see a little more Gianni stuff. And I'm really thinking, like, can we get to the rich man that Andrew was with?
Mm-hmm. I want to see more Andrew and Versace together.
Well, I don't know if that will happen. I don't know that factually. We know that they weren't together all that much. I don't know if it'll appear because we don't know. Maybe there was some sort of long term.
I just it was so strange because it was like that. There's that scene at the opera, and then it just kind of ended abruptly. It looked like they were about to make out or about to be something more, and then that was it. I'm just confused.
That's good though because to me, I look at Andrew as like we're seeing the last bit of his life. Like we're literally seeing the very end of it.
Yeah.
You know, once he hits Minneapolis, it's go go go. Mm-hmm. But like there was a good 6 years in San Diego, and then from the San Diego moment, he also went to San Francisco, which is where that story arc or that idea had happened. I want to see a lot of that. Is all I'm saying. I want to see kind of like how that one episode we saw, like the fun Miami vibe. I kind of want to see the because Andrew Cunanan hustled and he sold drugs and he had rich men, and he had rich men in and out kind of a thing. So I want to see like that lavish aspect. And I know hopefully we see that episode where we tie it into Gianni. So this episode or this show isn't just Andrew, as you said. You know, you guys kind of get tired of just Andrew stuff.
And I think we do get a little bit of that schizophrenic feel because he was that way. I think there were moments where he, like, dug in to hustle whomever or to make some money, and then moments where he fixated on people he didn't know but told lies about them. So I think you get the people he knew and then people he fixated on and people he lied about. So I think you were getting a little bit of all of that, and Johnny might have been somewhere in between.
By the way, I want to see more of the actor. Speaking of the Navy guy, the guy that played Jeffrey Trill was also in The Normal Heart, which I actually rewatched this weekend, which I've watched like 19,000 times. It's fantastic. I really want to see that guy do more. And if Ryan Murphy's going to Netflix, Finn Whitlock or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to see Sarah Paulson show up next episode. I don't know. Let's see if it happens.
If it fits in the story.
If it works. I mean, yeah.
We are running out of
time.
Like
she's like the barista or something. But I do want to see a spinoff of Donatella. That's great.
Yes. Penelope Cruz. I'm so about that. Yes.
I mean, Penelope Cruz has just been, for me, like you just see this fire, and I want to see more.
You mean
more,
not
more,
Gina
more.
Gershon as Donatella? Gina Gershon did a Lifetime movie. I just love Gina Gershon so much. Just on a physical level. I don't even know if Gina Gershon makes like sense when she talks. Physically,
but
Gina Gershon is everything.
I do agree. Penelope did such a great job of just like her whole look, her everything. She has a thick accent, right, when she speaks English. Yeah. And she's able to give, like, turn it from Spanish to Italian. Like,
I've been trying to figure it out since the beginning of the season. I, like, walk around in my house sometimes with, like, my face like
Penelope
this.
Cruz? Are you just Penelope,
because it's just so important.
And I don't know. Her and Ricky Martin have some on-screen chemistry. I love that whole deal. So I just want to see more of them battling it out for Johnny's heart or whatever.
And
or
more
money.
Ricky Martin butt.
Yeah.
One time's not enough, people. Yeah.
For Valentine's Day, she's requesting. But again, we are out of time
already.
We've been out of time for a while, but we had to keep talking.
Thank you for giving us more time in the booth.
Yes,
highly
we appreciate
it.
Thanks, Sam.
With that being said. We should also tell people to go like AfterBuzz, right?
Yes, absolutely. Like us on iTunes, 5 stars, AfterBuzz TV, and give us some comments on YouTube. Want to hear from you guys, and hopefully they're all positive. Yes,
they better.
Well, constructive is fine too, because a lot of times it'll be a comment where it's like, "Oh, they didn't talk about this or hit that." You know, it is a tight show, so the idea is, you know, that's why Shaka says what he says. Hey, write it down. Yeah. That way we could address it.
But
because it's a harder show to assess.
We did get that one comment of, "We think you guys are too young." Hey, we have no control.
Baby, I was old. I'm an 80s baby. We ain't going to do that shit.
We have no
maybe
control.
Maybe young, but
that.
I'm very
you
wild.
You can take that up with my parents.
Yeah. We're like a lot of years apart, but we're like, we're soulful.
But we have reached out to some great guests, so hopefully we'll get to them soon. So, again, my name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
My name is Ronnie Strong. No, it's not. My name is Ronnie Roundbelly. Ow. No. God. They gave me the wine or the champagne. Anyways, it's
You can find
it's
me.
Ronnie. Don't find me. Next guy.
You can find me at Russell Ray Silva across all platforms. And we're going to find you at.
Yes, Cardi B.
You can find me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet. That is my name, and that is hello for French. Anyways, go follow me.
Shout out to our engineer. Yeah, Anthony.
Anthony, thank you for putting up with us. We love you. Bye.
Bye, guys.
I like that that's not who I am, but I'll deal with it.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.